So recording is started.
Okay, where can I find the, where's the best, like, latest source of staff information for the roll call? Just on the OEMR website?
Oh, yeah, you know, I should be, I'll put that on the actual next agendas. But yeah, you go to the, I usually go to the website, to the board member page on the, there's an about on the OEMR.org website, board members. Then board of directors, that's an updated list.
Hey, Matthew, it's Robert. I usually grab the roll call from the Zoom list.
Hi, this is Jit. Done.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm actually just on my phone here. I'm just going to use the website, like Brady said. But next time, I should probably get the software installed. Okay, well, let's get started. So just let me know if you're here. So I think I just heard Jit. Can you confirm?
Yeah. Yes, this is Jit. I'm here.
Okay. Robert?
Here.
Daniel?
Here.
I didn't. Sherwin?
Here.
I believe Lou is excused, so unless he decided to come in, which I doubt. Shamim? Okay, Shamim's absent. Of course, Brady's already here.
Here.
Senna?
Yeah, I'm here. Good morning, everyone.
Hi, good morning, Senna. Roberto?
I'm here.
Steven, he's there. Scott? All right, we'll mark him down as absent. And John?
Here.
All right, so has everybody, I'm assuming, had a chance to look at the November 8th board meeting minutes? So,
Matthew, one more thing to add is guest. I think we have Mary Stevens.
Yes.
As a guest. And then we have one more, 281. I'm not, is that Asher? Who's the 281 phone number?
Hey, that's me, Daniel.
Daniel, hey, okay.
Yeah. Okay, so we have one guest then.
One guest.
Cool,
yeah.
Cool. Okay, so I'm going to bring forth a motion to approve of the November 8th, 2017 board meeting minutes. I'm assuming everybody had a chance to look at those.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, I just wanted to, before we get started, say that I apologize. I couldn't make last month. We had a new baby, so it was just crazy. But I know that there's a conflict of interest policy. And I was looking at that, and I'm sorry it got delayed. I was going to send it back right away, but I got tied up. But then I asked some questions, and I tried to post it to, I don't know if it was everybody, or I know at least Robert, and I never heard anything back. So I was just like, I didn't know. I'm happy to sign it, but I had a couple of questions on that. So I don't know if that's going to be part of the agenda, probably not. But
No, it actually is. Yeah, it actually is. So, okay. But I'm just going to double star to make sure we address your question.
So I just want to be clear. I'm not, you know, I'm a veteran. Everybody knows that. And I had some questions then. So that's why I was like, of course, I'm dedicated to the board and all that. But I just wanted to ask those to get peace of mind that, you know, it is truly, I can continue doing what I'm doing and still be on the board and, you know, be compliant with, you know, their policies and stuff. But then I didn't sign it yet because I didn't hear back. And then I was waiting for the board meeting, I guess, because I know that you guys would be here. So anyways, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. So I believe Robert and some other folks wrote it up in a way that should be pretty seamless with being a vendor. But yeah, we're going to address that in the agenda here. So I'll double star to make sure we address your question specifically. So did everybody get a chance to check out the board meeting minutes from November 8th and to have anybody that would maybe second my motion?
This is Brady. I'll second the motion.
Okay. So the next part is the financial report. So I'll hand this over to Steven.
Thanks, Matthew. I posted up the latest quarterly numbers. And contact, but I'll had a chat with the OSI contact, John Weathersby. I had a chat with him. Really nice guy. Wants to help us out, so it's great. And we should be getting a letter from the IRS, the next stage of the process here, in a long, drawn-out timeline. Goes on and on. I'm thinking we got something in the mail from them, and it was a bunch of like old printouts of our old web pages thing that this would be included in our case. I guess we kind of already knew that. I mean, the case had changed hands, so I'm thinking this guy was just wanted to make sure we knew that. I think I mentioned Robert did such a nice job. We had a bunch more donations come in December.
That's awesome.
Coming up. Yeah. Good. That was great.
That's awesome.
So if any questions, you know, about anything.
I think it was was it $1,300 in 1 month that came in?
Yep, about $1,300. Nice.
Great.
You can make the check out to Robert down to the amount of $1,300.
So actually, if you go to our website, open-emr.org, you could still see the really nice logo. Or the graphic, rather, that says, 'tis the season of giving with the Give Now button. So, yeah, it's really nice. So we'll definitely use that next year.
Get to it quick, though, because it's going away tonight.
Yeah. We got to cash that or something. Bring back the dog. So you already touched a little bit on revocation status, Stephen. So I'm wondering if there's any other updates on that front. I mean, it sounds like we have a good connection at the OSI and forming a good relationship and the process is getting started. Is there any other update there in regards to revocation?
Not really. The more I reach out and chat with people about all this, they're like more about, well, what is it you want to get out of it? You know, what's OEMR want? And I just keep pushing our game plan of, we'd like something substantial for OEMR, you know, like a legal status, which could be 501c6, seems like the easiest way forward. And then, maybe having this spin-off 501c3 that we're linked to. And this latest contact, John, who's going to reach out to some of his people he's worked with in the past. He's out of Mississippi, so he's helped a lot of low-resource areas down there with their nonprofits. And he thought that he could be there for us. He just wanted to make sure, what we have as like a plan seems to be okay with what they think, you know, like, is this something tried and true or et cetera. So I think we're in a pretty good state. You know, we've got a plan and John's there to help us. It seems like if he just can kind of get, you know, some backup. So that's about it. Hopefully we get somewhere at some point with this, all this stuff.
Cool. This is Brady. I got a quick, with John, did he feel like, was he kind of the opinion that getting OEMR 501c3 status is probably not a good idea, or did he, because he was pretty gung-ho about being able to do it, but it maybe when he read all the information, he backed off that?
I think he left everything open. He just wanted to know what it was we were trying to accomplish, you know, and to me, just telling that it seemed like a huge uphill battle with a lot of litigation that I thought if we could find some other way, just keep it to like paperwork applications, then that would be a lot easier.
Because I think then our plan would probably turn into get a 501c3 first. That is completely, you know, focused on charity and education, and then because we want to have some, and then we would then turn OAMR into a 501c6. Maybe using a subsidiary or something like that. But I think that's maybe, I mean, sounds like John can help us with that if that's our plan.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the ideas that we discussed at the last board meeting around just being involved in open health, right? You know, obviously we care a lot about using open EMR to get to our goals, but we can also support multiple initiatives, multiple open source projects, hopefully that actually work hand in hand with open EMR, and maybe that would be good, and along with education, it gives us a bigger mission and a more, you know, appealing mission to the IRS, I guess, because they don't seem to like the idea that we're so coupled to one thing.
I think it's just, I don't even know if it's coupled to one thing. I think if you have the word open source software, even if it's multiple projects, I think you're still risking getting snagged into this process. So it's almost like we should just focus on that 501c3 would really just focus on health in underserved areas and education. Of course, using software.
Well, remember that article you brought up, though, that's all been cleared up now. There's this 1023 easy, and the open source thing is not a big deal anymore. So that's not a big deal. I mean, you can just lay it out there and go for it, and they've relaxed those rules. So, you know, I mean, if we need a new 501c3, then we can definitely start that paperwork. You know.
But they relax those rules, but it won't apply to OEMR at this point because you've gone through so much stuff already. Is that?
Well, yeah. I mean, OEMR can't do a 1023 easy. It'd have to be a new organization, new corporation.
So, do you guys and girls have any ideas about names? And also, where should our board live? Would we be doing it on OEMR as a 501c6, or would we be using the new 501c3 for our board?
The only path forward for OEMR is to become a c6 and maintain its composition. So this would be a separate entity, which is a whole other discussion, you know, and probably should be put on the agenda for next month. And that, at that point, I think John will be, he said he's going to get back to me probably next week. So he'll have some idea of, you know, how to go down that route. And I told him, you know, we don't have a problem filling out the forms. We just want somebody to make sure we're doing it the way it's kind of expected to be done, you know, the way, and, you know, he thought we have the right mission, and that's not the problem. It's just, you know, we got snagged up with the 990s. So there wasn't anything about our intent and purpose. It's just the perception by the IRS is that we're guilty until proven innocent. So that's where, you know, we kind of left it.
Okay, and then just so I understand, for the next board meeting, you're saying we should, you know, get more information and then talk about where the board will live, you know, if it's going to be on the 501c6, which we think OEMR will be, or the new 501c3, which we don't have a name for, but I'm sure we'll come up with something. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about whole separate corporations, so there's a lot that would go into that. It'd be basically starting at the beginning. Articles of incorporation, etc.
And
I
mean,
it's a distinct entity. You know?
I mean, we'll talk about it with John, I guess, because you can have a subsidiary also where a C6 is a subsidiary of a C3 or vice versa. So they could still be related. But I think maybe we'll have to develop the strategy and then figure out the process after that. Maybe with John, we'll get the overall what we need to do. And then after that, we can figure out the process of what we have to do.
Okay, cool. Yeah, this is all new to me, but I'm looking forward to that information. I guess we should all start thinking of a good name, because it definitely sounds like we will need a new org. So, and it sounds like we're going to try for.
Yeah, that's the tricky part. I mean, if OEMR is going to be leading this and creating the 501c3, then I believe we would have to be a 501c6 before that takes place. You know, and that's a good question for John, you know, or any expert. Can OEMR create a new C3 as a subsidiary? I guess that's what Brady's getting at.
Yeah, and we probably, regardless, whenever we do have a 501c3, regardless if it springs off of, you know, OEMR or if it's just a totally separate one, I think a new brand and a new message in general would be nice. I just think that, you know, might go a long way. Okay, cool. So is there any more discussion on the restructuring and revocation topics, or are we ready to move on? Okay, so John.
I have one question, Matthew. We're saying that we need to focus on where there's help and that we can't mention open source. Is that what you guys were talking about? I mean, this is an open source solution, though. In the new one, we can't mention open source. We just have to skirt around it. Like, what if somebody asks, you know, are you guys supporting open source? Then how do we deal with that?
I'm just going to give you my summary. I'm sure Stephen will be better at explaining it in detail, but I'll just give you my summary because I'm still wrapping my head around it. Basically, it sounds like we can create a 501c3 organization around open source software, and it's because of this 1023EZ form, which basically the IRS is becoming more relaxed in terms of open source and nonprofits. So apparently there's a way forward through there. But it sounds like that's new information. In previous calls, we've talked about, you know, we can't mention open source. We can strictly talk about education and charity, but it sounds like we'll be able to actually link the two. We just can't do that with our current organization.
Yeah, I was talking to an attorney in North Carolina. So, okay, that clarifies something. Yeah, because I was like, I know that they've laxed it and stuff like that, but I wasn't really sure for sure. But I guess you confirmed that. Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, it's just the future of OEMR is in question, though. And so I think the future is going to be a little bit different, but we're learning more as we go. Okay, so I want to move on to the AWS partnership, which is really exciting. So John is obviously leading that effort. John, can you give an update on what's going on with OEMR and AWS?
Sure, thanks, Matthew. You know, the big thing we're all waiting on is the first release of OpenMR Standard Edition, OpenMR Cloud Standard Edition. And that process started about a week ago, a little more, and we just have had some engagement from the AWS folks on that. So looking forward to moving ahead quickly with that. There's a press release that is in the final stages. We have our back-end tooling kind of designed and starting to, you know, development phase coming up. And so lots of good stuff happening.
Yeah, and just for the people on the call that haven't met Mary, Mary's our guest on the call. She's helping with the marketing of that press release. So, you know, we're very grateful for that.
Well, you're welcome. You guys are doing all the hard stuff. So all I have to do is talk about it. So you guys are doing the heavy lifting.
Well, it's very appreciated. Okay, cool. So if you haven't had a chance, there's been two press releases around the AWS OpenEMR cloud. So, you know, just send me an email if you can't find them. They should be on our news section of the forum. So you can read a little bit about the hard work that Asher and John and others have been doing. So really exciting. The next item on the agenda is the Wonka SAR conference that I was at. So basically, the, to summarize, I had put together a report, like a really, really big report on everything I learned and opportunities that came about. So I will definitely defer to that if you're really interested in the details. Where we're at right now, as of today, we have the video recording of Andre and I's presentation on our blog, and we're going to start maybe pushing that to social channels once we're confident that the caching issue is resolved on the blog. And Robert did a nice video for it. It's really highly quality. So one of the things that happened at the conference that was really interesting was we discussed at the conference in the presentation that Andre and I did, we discussed remote vitals collection using smartphones or regular, you know, old school cell phones in other countries. So in America, we can't send that kind of PHI across the wire, but you can imagine that in a lot of other countries in the world where they don't have the same regulations, you can actually have a cloud system send them a message asking to enter their blood pressure on a specific interval or multiple intervals a day. Similarly, you can ask about other vitals, as well as the patient being able to just arbitrarily enter in values into a text and sending them off. So whenever a diabetic takes their number, you know, their blood glucose reading, they can go and type it in and send it off to the system, and it will automatically be sent to the doctor. And there's a really neat, you know, reporting system. And basically, this was part of the presentation, and there's a few doctors from the country of Bhutan, which is a very small country, that are very interested in this, and they got on GitHub, and they've been talking with me, and they've been really cool. Their whole country is ran, their healthcare is ran by the government. So what is going to be hopefully the ultimate destination is once we've tested this solution and with a few of their providers, we'll be able to actually basically mandate it across the whole government or the whole country, because the government kind of decides on what kind of healthcare technology each provider uses. So it'll be a big opportunity for us. So that again was remote patient vitals based on self-measurement. Go and check out the video blog that's going to be posted here shortly around the presentation, and I think you'll be really impressed with Robert's work. So that's all I had to say about Wonka. Did anybody have any questions around that? Okay, so just talking about general marketing, this is a really exciting topic. So I'm not sure everybody has met Duke. He couldn't be on the call today, but Duke is our new kind of marketing volunteer, along with Mary, of course, for OpenEMR and OEMR. So we have so many interesting new projects for this 2018 in terms of OpenEMR marketing. And I worked with a few other people to put together what I'm calling OpenEMR Sustainability. And this comprises marketing, fundraising, and recruiting. And so I invited everybody on the board and some select members of the community to this document. It's a roadmap, basically. And you can see all the marketing, fundraising, and recruiting activities that are going on. So definitely check that out. There's just too much to talk about, really. So I'm just going to defer to you all. If anybody wants to mention something specifically about marketing or ask questions about this OpenEMR sustainability roadmap.
I'd just like to say that's a pretty impressive document.
Well, thank you. I take that as a big compliment coming from you.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's very ambitious, but I think 2018 has a lot in store for OpenEMR and OEMR, and I'm so happy we have Mary and Duke on our team, because, you know, developers doing the marketing has its mileage, right?
So,
so okay, is there any questions around that, or does anyone want to mention or call out anything specifically around marketing? Okay, cool. So next topic is conference outreach. Does anybody have any conferences in mind that they would like to go to, or for OEMR to consider sending some folks to? And I guess it's not limited to conferences. If there's any hackathons or meetups or anything, you know, mention those too.
what's the thought on hymns this upcoming year? We've tossed the idea around of having a booth, maybe trying to piggyback off of somebody else's booth. I mean, I would love to go, even if I'm not manning a booth, just to be there, I think would be great. And the last time we floated the idea was we would need at least two people there to successfully run any kind of booth. So thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is Brady. I think we discussed it maybe 2 months ago, maybe during one of the conference calls, but I guess the issue is it's very expensive for the booth and it was such a large conference. We thought maybe we'd focus on the smaller ones, but it would be nice if we could definitely piggyback on a booth. I think according to John, or at least our logo may be at somewhere on an Amazon booth. It would be really nice. Like what we did last year, we got pretty lucky to be in that booth last year, but it sounds like we're going to have a hard time, at least unless we find someone we can join up with. We're going to probably
Brady,
not be there.
This is Sana. Which conference are we talking about?
The hymns.
Yeah, I registered myself, the room and everything. I may be going. I did also follow up with the medal that you referred last year, Brady.
Yeah.
I think they partnered with some other company, not with OpenEMR. I sent a mail. Sorry, I couldn't make it to the last meeting as I was traveling, and I was going to update. I contacted them around Thanksgiving. Hey, you want to do OpenEMR? I forgot that lady's name, doctor's name. And they said they are going with some other company, but they said they will get in touch with me if they are interested. I volunteered. OpenEMR will be interested because I didn't worry about the cost. If the cost is high, I can absorb. But they did not get back to me.
Yeah,
but I did book a room because it's in Kalam, not too far for me to drive. I'm going to drive anyway.
So I guess we could work on trying to find somebody
if they can do that, I don't mind spending my money and I can go absorb the cost. Last year and the year before, I find out the room was the most expensive, so I booked a room already. New Orleans, I paid $600 per night last minute. So that's not at all a good hotel. So if anybody wants to go, please book the room well in advance.
This is Robert. I'd love to be there. I just have to check. I have to check the schedule with school. It has started back up, and this is one of the busier semesters. So, but if the stars line up, I'd love to be there. I think it'd be a great.
It's worth it. It's definitely worth it, Robert. Yeah. I'm going there for the last 6 years. Definitely worth it. And so again, Brady, I'm volunteering. If anybody wants to do, I can represent OpenEMR. That's not an issue. And I don't need any budget or cost.
Senna, like where is the meeting this year?
Las Vegas. Venetian. Oh. Very, very beautiful place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hotel Venetian.
That's going to be a fun.
Brady, you should go, Brady. 40,000 doctors 3 years ago at Venetian. So, 40,000 audience. Most of them were doctors. It's really worth it. I strongly recommend people to go if they can find time.
Yeah, I'm just looking up the cost of booths.
Booth is so expensive, Brady. If it is just 1,000 or something, I could have absorbed it for OpenEMR. And also, rather than having just to OpenEMR, partnering with some high-flying concept companies will be a great one. Partnering with them as open source.
Yeah, it looks like they're $40 a square foot. Oh, I don't know what that means, but that sounds expensive.
Usually it's 10 by 10. 400 square foot. Sorry, 100 square foot.
You could try Red Hat. They're open source. They're based in Raleigh, if they will allow us.
I don't know. Red Hat, maybe there is something to do with healthcare, ITO. IoT, sorry. IoT or anything with the latest technology who are interested in open source. I don't know whether you are getting any mails, Brady. So if you do like last year, that'll be a good one to follow up.
Which anyway, one is that?
I'm done. You recommended a company last year, maybe you forgot, Metal in San Francisco.
Oh yeah. I remember Metal. You, it sounds like you emailed the, maybe I'll look in my emails and see if that guy was interested. I figured he would have contacted us.
Actually, I talked to his boss. His name is Andy, Dr. Andy. His boss, I forgot her name. I talked to her over the phone in November a couple of times. She was interested, but she didn't respond because they already partnered with some other commercial vendor. So don't know.
Yeah, maybe I'll send him an email because they partnered with commercial vendors last time too. They just used us for one part of it. That would be ideal because it looks like a booth will be about $5,000, and obviously we can't afford that. So I'll send an email. I'll look it up, and I forgot his name, but I'll send one.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry, Matthew. Just regardless, I'm planning to go. So if there is anything I can do, do let me know.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah. So I don't think there's anything else yep.
So just real quick, I checked my schedule. I'm out. Spring break is actually the week before, which would have been great, but I am not going to be able to be there. So might just be you, Senna.
Okay.
Maybe next year.
I this is Brady. I may be able to make that, actually. It looks like it's beginning of May, right?
March.
March. Oh, maybe. I may be able to make that, so I'll look into my schedule. Especially if you can get a booth or a piggyback with somebody.
Well, if you play your gambling right in Vegas, you might not have to worry about the booth. So I wanted to mention really quickly with respect to conference outreach, the thing that I was talking about before with the project that came out of Wonka, the remote patient vitals monitoring, I was talking to Andre and we were thinking that if we successfully deploy it to the Bhutan providers, that would make for a really interesting academic talk at a conference, this year, maybe later in the year. So we're gonna keep our eyes out. But basically, I think that would be something that folks would be interested in clinically. So I just wanted to give an update. We don't have anything in mind right now. We still have to see if this is a success, but I believe it would be. It would have enough merit to get into a conference as another presentation. The next topic is raising funds. So this ties in a little bit with the OpenEMR sustainability document that I mentioned before and some of the work that Duke is doing. We're trying to come up with new and clever ways to brand and reach new people to basically become sustainable donors. One thing that recently happened in our community is we got on a site called Open Collective, which is a sustainability platform for open source projects, and we've been marketing the heck out of it. In fact, we just released a press release today around it, and we're not seeing a huge uptick in donations, but we certainly learned a lot around messaging. So effectively, what happened was we posted it on a few sites, and some people were confused in the comment section around, why would we donate to OpenEMR? There's already so many solutions in America. And I feel like I had to explain, hey, there's other countries that they don't have the money for EMRs or Epic or, all the big three, and explain a little bit about the developing nations and EMRs. And that's really what we're trying to fuel with charitable donations. So I think we learned a lot. And next time around, when we're asking for money in a serious marketing campaign, we'll be able to have a better message. Outside of that, I'm just going to let everybody else speak around fundraising and any specific questions or plans that people might have.
This is Robert. I was having a conversation today with our community engagement director at school, and just catching up on the events of the last few months. I haven't seen her in a while, and apparently she worked for like 17 years in donor relations for an international nonprofit. So over the next couple of weeks, I am going to have a couple more conversations with her. I have a very good relationship with her. I've known her for a couple of years now, and just pick her brain or see if she could maybe help us in forming a cohesive plan. You know, 17 years working in an NGO, NPO type of situation, working with donor relations and helping to build the story, can, I think, be a really valuable asset. And I think she likes me, I hope. So that, you know, maybe she's willing to donate a little bit of her time. And then when I work with the Red Cross, most of my work is through disaster management. But I know a couple of people in donor relations in the Orlando area. And I'm going to reach out to them, buy them a cup of coffee and say, you know, you guys are working donor relations for one of the largest, if not the largest, you know, NPO in the world. How do we, you know, what are your top 10 tips? What can we do to start building cohesive plans moving forward? Because what I'm starting to see is we have these really great ideas, and we tend to just not, we don't see them out far enough ahead of time. We tend to be scrambling at the last minute. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think we're doing the best we can. But in the coming weeks, I definitely want to try to find, I mean, I obviously have people that have just been sitting here in front of me and I didn't even realize it. Try to reach out to them and see if we can build some kind of plan to really figure out how to get long-term sustainable donors. Not that there's anything wrong with the donations we get. I love it that anybody's willing to donate, but you know, starting to seek out those bigger, larger investments.
Yeah, I think that's ideal, Robert, because if you think about it with the sustainability document that I've been working on with Duke and a few other people, we really have a few different ideas. It's forking off, and one of them is bound to catch on for 2018 so we can get sustainable funding. So just having, you know, your connection in the mix, I think, is just yet another, you know, option for us to pursue. So I'm kind of a fan of this a little bit chaotic approach of trying out different things until we find something that catches. We have a few really wild and ambitious plans around like outreach videos and Kickstarters and talking to some big organizations to get money. And so, I mean, something's going to catch on. I have a good feeling about it. So we just have to be diligent.
Yeah, one new effort that we talked about on the Saturday call was to do a historical analysis of donors, just to understand who they are, you know, what their reasons are, why, you know, what their association is with Open EMR. And so try to get an understanding from a historical analysis of you know, donors for the last 5 years.
Yep, I think that's going to be key. I think having that along with, you know, four other parallel approaches is going to really, you know, benefit us because we need to figure it out. I'm sure there's many ways to go about it. So, yeah, the previous donor analysis, John kicked that off and Steven's helping out. So I really appreciate that. We'll be able to learn a little bit about our demographic. Any other ideas for raising funds or questions or comments? Okay, then I'll hand it off to Robert to talk about the conflict of interest policy and address Jit's question from earlier.
Yes, Jit, sorry I didn't get back to you. I didn't actually know the answer to your question, so I was going to talk to Brady and then things just get busy with school starting. There's still several conflict of interest policies that haven't been returned. I'll just run down the list. Brady, Sina, Senna, Jit, obviously we're talking about it. Lou is not here. I can remind him. Shamim, Roberto, Stephen, and Scott, who I haven't really heard from in a while. So if you go into your emails, you'll see there's actually just a link in there. It'll open up a PDF. You can fill out the form real quick, digitally sign it, and just send it back to me. It's the same thing that we did on the forums, just a bit more formal. Jit, as far as I understand, I don't see any reason why you couldn't stay on the board. You know, you're a vendor. We all know you're a vendor. You've never hid that from anybody. Was there anything else specifically, I can pull the email up, that you had questions about other than just the fact that you are, in fact, a vendor? Because as far as I know, we're all cool with that. Was there anything else?
Yeah. Well, the other thing is that you guys probably know, I know John knows, that I've agreed to serve as a reference account for AWS, and as we're rolling out standard and as you guys are doing testing, I'm sorry, I'm not, you know, very technically inclined like a coder or a programmer or anything, but I tried to help as much as I could. I definitely gave a quote for the press release that they're releasing from my company about AWS standard and how I believe in that and how it will help OpenEMR. So my question is that, you know, having my advocating to my clients to use OpenEMR standard edition or other editions and for AWS, does that automatically sort of imply that I'm using my board position to influence my business? Because, you know, I'm trying to do it to sort of advocate OpenEMR and help us through this process as we need these true reference accounts at least, but I'm not doing it. My intention is not to do it to gain, to use OpenEMR, being positioned on the board to gain myself more business for my clients or a better outlook for my clients. But it's a dicey, in my mind, it's kind of sort of like, is that a conflict of interest or not? You know, I mean, I appreciate you saying that being a vendor automatically, that was my first question, is that a conflict of interest? But now I'm giving quotes, press releases, I'm helping with the process of QA testing or whatever I can do, being on the board as well as being a vendor. So
I don't see any conflict of interest at all. You're helping out a lot with OpenEMR Cloud and product development and bringing it to market, and I don't see any conflict of interest in that. But
this is Brady. Yeah, I think, you know, there'd be the conflict of interest would arise if we as a board decided let's vote on who can, you know, who is allowed to basically be on the vendor list for the AWS packages. At that point, Jit, you would just have to recuse yourself from the vote. That would be a conflict of interest. But definitely, I mean, you didn't use your, you know, we're not, the choosing of who is able to function in that role isn't really done by, it's not, you know, it's not because someone's on the board, they're going to do that role. It's just because we feel like they can responsibly and also, you know, benefit OpenEMR and OEMR. So you didn't get it, you know, people aren't getting it because they're on the board. They're getting it for other reasons. So I don't think there's any conflict of interest.
I mean, the timing
was so opportune because I had a client, I mean, who wanted to put the OpenEMR on cloud and AWS is something that's great to put it on. And then you guys were coming out with this. So that's what I was thinking is that on my business end, the clients are wanting this. You guys need references. So I put two and two together, say that maybe, you know, I could be helpful for that. And that was my intention. Anyways, yeah, thanks for clarifying that. You know,
I don't see any conflict either. I think, you know, if you were voting on like executive decisions about AWS and the marketplace solution, and like Brady was saying, things that would specifically drive
more business to my people. Yeah.
That's not what's going on. You're just a vendor who really likes the marketplace product. You also happen to be on the board. So, yeah. I mean, and we have procedures in place for anytime a conflict does exist, you just basically sit out the vote. But I mean, I don't think that's really ever happened. Not that I'm aware of. So nope, I think you're good. Feel free to sign it and send it back. And you know, I don't think anything you're doing, like I don't look at you and think to myself, he's trying to subvert the mission of OEMR or anything. I mean, just bringing this up and saying, hey, is this a conflict? It's really just tells me that you're keenly aware of staying on, you know, on top of everything. So appreciate that.
Okay.
Cool. Robert, this is Sana. I thought I mailed the form right away. Maybe I didn't.
I'll double check and let you know.
I could be wrong with traveling, all these things. Where do I get the form? I can send it again. It's not a big deal.
I'll just forward it to you again.
Do that, please. Sorry.
You may have. I was looking through my email. I didn't see anything.
No, you are right. You are right. I thought I will do it. Maybe I postponed it. Don't know. I know I recall getting it. So,
okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, I'll forward it to you again. No big deal.
Yeah, please. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, I second what Brady and Robert and John were saying around the conflict of interest in being a vendor. Actually, one of the things that John was talking to me about early on was he wants to create even better relationships between OEMR and vendors. So, I mean, this is one way to do it for sure. So I see it as a really positive thing. Okay, so we have about 10 minutes left, so we'll try to move past these next two items relatively quickly. Trademarking. I wasn't sure if who's the owner on trademarking and all that. Can somebody give an update? I'm sorry, I forget who's owning that topic.
It's Robert. At this point, everything has been submitted to the patent office. We are just awaiting feedback that generally takes months. So we just kind of in a holding pattern. So basically, if they come back and say no, as far as I understand it, they provide some rationale and we have an opportunity to fix any mistakes. I don't foresee that happening. LegalZoom did a comprehensive search, so to make sure we weren't going to cross anybody else's lines. So we're just in a holding pattern. I'll just pull it off the agenda and look at it again in 6 months, unless I hear something from LegalZoom. So.
And this is Brady. Awesome. I think Sen has sent me an email that the old trademark is going to, I think it's going to expire this year, but that's for the old logo. So
correct. So we really,
we'll let that expire.
If we wanted to, but I don't.
I wouldn't. Do that. Yeah. Unless anybody wants to keep the old logo for historical purposes.
Nostalgia.
Brady, you should trademark the dog.
No, I'll do the dog and the logo.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, cool. And Robert, are you the one owning the OSI application as well?
Me and I think Steven was talking to them. I think we were waiting to kind of see what was going to happen with the 501c3 status. Do we become, and like how we apply to OSI through all of that. That's actually how we got into contact with John Weatherby. So I was talking to the OSI people about the best way to approach it. So maybe we reevaluate when we have a better idea of what the plan is.
Should we remove the application piece from the board agenda until we get our ducks in a row with the legal stuff with them first?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay. So yeah, we'll just put that in the minutes. Okay, want to move on to new business. So as everybody's probably heard, OpenEMR has a really strong, there's a really healthy interest in using OpenEMR from a developer perspective, hitting OpenEMR via REST APIs and also with FHIR. And so with FHIR, we can kind of have a very consistent data structure to represent all of these biomedical concepts. So this is going to really be the future of healthcare, and we want to support it in OpenEMR. And I believe Brady has started working on it with Jerry, and Jerry, being a professional in our community, is asked for some funds to fuel his efforts. So Brady, can you talk about some of the costs and the evaluation of those costs for everybody to vote on?
Yeah, and this is not, it's kind of an approximate at this point, but so Jerry did the CCDA implementation. I think it was for $1,000, but probably 6 months ago, and that's when he did a lot of research. That's when we were thinking about FHIR solutions. So since we've made it a pretty much number, not an, I'd say super, yeah, we'll give it a super high priority to get FHIR at least the initial structure of Fire into OpenEMR as soon as possible. So I kind of revisited with him in terms of solutions. He's actually still doing research on potential solutions. I think he's going to likely head towards having the Java middleware, the HAPI, but he's still looking into other things with Node.js and things like that. But I think the cost to get the initial structure in there, and at that point, when you have that in, you could then start to, you know, other developers could start to add in the pieces. But I think it'll be about $1,000 to $2,000.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking at.
This is Jit. I was talking to John about this, and I really, really appreciate you doing the Fire module for OpenEMR, and I saw the CCDA, and we had created a similar thing, like a CDA for a client years ago, but I don't know, it didn't get implemented or something. But I have a client in North Carolina that's interested in health information exchange, and there's actually a law. I don't know each state, but in June of this year, all the providers have to connect to the health information exchange. So I have at least a few, I know a few OpenEMR users, providers in, you know, that I work with that are interested. And so if we develop this, definitely have beta clients ready or people that, you know, would be using this. And I really think it'll be a good thing for OpenEMR, because I'm not sure. I mean, I know the big, the people who are using big vendors for software for the EMR might be able to connect, but I don't know if everybody can connect. And so I think it's going to really help OpenEMR to have the Fire in there. And John, if you want to speak anything to that, but I just wanted to mention, I was waiting for the call and a discussion on Fire to let you guys know that this is just in the last a month ago or whatever that this practice wanted to connect to the HIE. And North Carolina HIE uses SAS as the vendor, and they're sort of waiting for, you know, that project to be approved. And so, you know, I know that CDA is there, CCDA is there, but I'm just kind of waiting, just kind of curious to see how long it may take Fire to be implemented so we could use that protocol instead.
This is Brady. I think it would probably be, just if you're looking at a time frame, I think it would probably be a month for the initial kind of what Jerry would do to get in there, which at least would give it a functional, you could authenticate. And hope the goal, we're really focusing on being able to import the basics. And of course, exporting is a lot easier, so that'd be kind of automatic. But because, you know, it's not just interoperability that's really important with Fire. We also have a lot of data analysis, demo data, educational research. All these other things could be really hugely would benefit from having the from Fire. So it's actually that's why we're giving it such a high priority, because there's a lot of things that can really build upon it, including lots of apps out there. I think all the smart apps that can, if you have Fire, then those can connect to it also. So I think there's a lot of utility in getting this done as soon as possible.
Yeah, so we aren't going to vote on how much you know that funding will be right now, then, until we get a more proper estimate. Is that correct?
I would say I'll throw it. It's going to be 1 to 2, and if anyone has issues with that, then let me know, because that's what I'm going to probably plan to talk about with Jerry. We could always vote that it's okay to spend up to a certain amount, I suppose.
I'd like to see the estimate from Jerry first before we vote, especially if he wants to do a Java implementation. I'd like to avoid that if at all possible.
Technically, the Java would likely be the way that would likely work. I mean, no matter what, you have to build PHP libraries to do all the heavy lifting. The Java would likely be the middleware to be able to connect to the smart apps and things like that. Since that happened, you know, the HAPI, it's not too tough to set up as a Docker, but so I think technically it would be more to standardize the interface, but there's also JS Node, or Node.js, I'm not sure how to say it, but potential solutions too that could get things going. But I think the important thing, that whole pretty much work on the underlying foundation and structure so that we can actually have something, a little thing going up and running, and then be able to build upon that. But when we have more details, I'll send it out. But as far as I'm concerned, this is kind of something that has to be done. And we need to to get it. I don't want to. That's why I think it's more just letting the board know that the plans are there. And I think when we have the estimate, which I think is going to probably be 1 to 2 to get this work done, I'll let folks know and we'll go from there.
Okay. Then, yeah, I would like to wait because who knows, he might come back with, you know, oh, actually it's 3,000 because I forgot about this piece, you know, so let's wait.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's not the word, Jerry. Jerry doesn't really work like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. Yeah. I just mentioned that because I know whenever I'm giving estimates, sometimes I forget, like, oh, yeah, I also have to do this, and that's going to add, you know, this much time and money. So I'm just strictly speaking from my own experience.
I think the goal is just really a bare bones, get this thing in there so we can actually have, because right now we have nothing. We have nowhere. We have no starting point. We're not really sure where we're going with it. So we just really need to get it started. But I'm definitely not. I mean, my goal is we don't have enough money to pay over two, so we can't. It's not really a possibility to go over that number.
Yep, and I guess we'll revisit that next time. So cool. Thanks for that. As far as the next item, we're actually going to be voting on it. So Sherwin put together a lab requisition form. It's a really nice digital version of a lab form that works right in OpenEMR, and it has a nice scanning label on the top and has all of the nice details that you would expect in a lab requisition form around patient insurance, you know, order codes, all that good stuff. It's not working with the latest code base. People are asking about it in the forums. I don't think there's any reason why we should keep it in a broken state considering it's an important feature. And one that actually a lot of our wiki documentation points to. So, Sherwin has proposed a fix and a modernization of that code for the form, and it will cost $500. I wanted to see if the board was okay with spending $500 for Sherwin to modernize the lab requisition form and get it working again.
Does the lab requisition form already exist?
Yeah, it does, but it's it needs a lot of love.
Is it in the code base? I guess I don't remember that.
You can download it. I don't know Sherwin if you're on, but basically how this has been working is you go to a YouTube video that Sherwin uploaded on YouTube. You can watch a video on how to use the lab module and the lab requisition form, and it's just in the comment to freely download it and put it in OpenEMR. I think we should really formalize that so it's in the code base, but folks have found their way to that video through our wiki documentation.
Is the original code on a pull request somewhere or something like that?
Say that again, please.
Is the original code that what people are downloading, is that on a pull request or where is that at?
Yeah, it's on a pull request, and it didn't make it to the code base, but yes, it was a pull request that was put in a couple of years ago.
And the point of it was to, what is it?
I had done a lab module for someone, and we built a requisition form because the lab required an electronic requisition form and had all these requirements that I thought were pretty cool. And so, like you said, the barcode at the top and then some of the other features. But again, it never got adopted, but also I didn't push it at the time. I just let it slide. And I didn't carry it along with all of the other stuff as we moved along with the code.
Yeah,
it got left behind.
I'm just looking at the PR now, actually.
I think it has dropped off probably my fail list. But I'm sitting in front of a computer right at the moment to pull it up.
No, I remember it seemed like it'd be a useful addition, so...
And then just to give a functional use case, the doctor could actually print that lab requisition form out and you know, give it to the patient or fax it to the lab location. Otherwise, they would have to fill out a manual custom form, mm-hmm. you know, given to them by, you know, let's say LabCorp or Quest or something like that. You know, now this is just a generic system. Other EMRs do this, by the way, if that helps at all.
Do you have like a scope document or anything laying out exactly what the process would be and what you plan to fix and how you got to the estimate, that kind of thing, hours, any kind of formal document for us to take a look at?
Okay, yes, because now it came up because I was seeing by Matthew when someone else had brought up the requisition form, and it was kind of off on a lark when I put it out there, because you know how people ask you for stuff all the time, especially if you put some other product out or code out there, they'll ask you to update or build something else, and generally because people are looking for you just to do work for free. So I just threw up there $500 as something to put up there as to go forward with the code. It really wasn't I had no thought put behind it other than, okay, let's do $500. I'll take care of it and I'll run with it. But as far as a formal analysis, I can get that to you and I will go back in and take a look and see what it would take to get it updated, but I'll probably still stick with the same amount.
It's Brady, and it's doing barcode stuff, it looks like.
Yes, it is, because the barcode is linked to it's a randomly generated number, and that barcode is, but also that number is stored in the system with the lab request. There we go.
I mean, it seems reasonable. And we've had users that are trying to use it and it's breaking.
Right. Well, yes, that's what I have found out recently. There are other people who have downloaded the code, but of course, with the current code base, it doesn't work. I think we did this back in 4.2 point something. It never made it to 5.
Yeah, and just to point, I think just for conflict of interest, I think we just have to make it clear that, because I remember this, that Matthew, I think there was a user on the forum that reported this issue, Matthew noted it, and then Matthew contacted the author who ended up being Sherwin. So we're not doing this just because Sherwin's on the board, we're doing this because you're the author of the software that we're trying to update. And obviously if you do a vote, you won't be able to vote participate.
Right, I won't have a vote on this one.
I think we just have to make this clear, and I think I think I just did, but that this wasn't, you know, you didn't start this. It was actually started by a user on the forum that Matthew got involved to try to help, and then we're at this bid, which I think, I mean, looking at your pull request, I think it's inappropriate. There's a need that needs to be met, and it's not much money, and looking at the code that needs to be improved, that's probably about right. Obviously, if we can push this off and get more documentation. If we do, then we can't really, you know, to do a vote over email, I think we all have to vote yes if we do that. So I'll leave it up to the board as to whether they want to vote now or whether we want to wait for more information. It's on this.
I'd like to see a scope document. Same thing with Jerry. It's just good protocol just to have something in writing. I'm not saying that, you know, it's unreasonable. I mean, it's a good feature and you know, people are asking for it. That's fine. Just to have something to look at.
Right. I think we should be on the same page, but I'll understand by looking at written documentation. So maybe in a future board meeting.
So we'll shoot for a scope for fire and also scope for this then for the next board meeting.
Okay. I'll make sure I get that over to you.
Okay, cool. Yeah, thanks for that discussion. Really appreciated. And I guess the next new business topic and the last new business topic is Open Collective Accounting. So as we mentioned, Open Collective is a platform we're using for sustainable donations for OpenEMR. These are donations from individuals and organizations. So the current way we're accounting for them is, I believe the funding is going to our OEMR bank account that Stephen has set up. And everything is publicly shown line by line on the website. That's just kind of how Open Collective works. It's like radically transparent. So any donation we get will show up there, and any expense we have will also, you know, be shown as a withdrawal. But of course, OEMR board has to, you know, vote and approve spending. So we haven't had any yet, but when we do, we'll use the same protocol.
Wait, every expense, every withdrawal from our bank account gets publicly listed on the Open Collective website?
So here's an example. Let's say we use funds to, not that we have $500 on Open Collective, but let's say we do have $500 on Open Collective and we're paying Sherwin to go and do work. We can you know, withdraw the money and it will be a line item. And that allows for total transparency for the donors. They can understand where their money's going.
Is there a specific account?
That's just the money coming in through Open Collective, not the entire budget.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is just Open Collective.
Okay, that's what I was asking. Okay.
Does Open Collective have a separate PayPal account, or is it going into the main OEMR PayPal?
I think it's the bank account.
Because that's
why.
Could
be wrong.
Because the reason why I put it on here is because I noticed it wasn't being listed on the financial reports. But I guess I'm not sure, Stephen. Is it? Do you know if it's going? Is it just being directly into the going directly into PayPal for OEMR? Or is it going to a separate PayPal account?
There haven't been any transactions from Open Collective yet, so Matthew set it up, and I don't think we have any, you know, deposits or withdrawals yet.
We have.
Yeah, whenever we the money that we have in there actually isn't like in any account. It's just in a weird space. So you have to actually take it and log into Open Collective and actually take it and put it into the bank account.
But it's still income in terms of tax stuff. It's still considered income for OEMR, the money that's sitting there, right? Or no?
Yeah, so we should probably add it to the Open Collective accounting. Or we should add Open Collective to our accounting and balance sheet and all that. But I guess it's a little bit different than our PayPal, because PayPal is actual tangible money that comes in as a transaction. Open Collective is a little bit different with how it kind of floats the money around before it's used.
And it makes sense. They're just trying to make it very transparent. Everything that goes in and goes out, rather than obviously be put into our, if it went directly to our own PayPal account, you wouldn't be able to do that. So I could see how it makes sense. But yeah, I just figured we just need to record it as on our balance sheet as another account.
Yeah, generally the way other Open Collectives are done, people just literally have, like, you know, 1 week of development on feature X and the cash amount that it costs. You know, so we can kind of treat it as, you know, a per project expense, which is generally how we use our money. And you can also, of course, you know, I saw one organization that went to a conference and they put in the line items for the plane and Expedia and all that stuff. So it's pretty awesome. It's pretty transparent. So the donors really know what their money is going towards.
And we probably shouldn't put things that aren't very exciting on there then. AWS monthly cost or something.
No, that's acceptable, because yeah, I mean, that's how, you know, the project stays afloat, right?
Yeah, and I was just saying it probably makes sense to put the neat stuff on there, so it just it's marketing in a way, because you're marketing what, you know, people are seeing what you're paying for. But yeah,
the goal that I have in mind, of course, this is not uniquely, you know, I'm not the only one that makes this decision. This is everybody on the board. But the goal I had was we get Open Collective sustainably, you know, funded. We get sustainable funding through Open Collective, and we use it to pay for work on our core roadmap projects. So they're really exciting, ambitious projects we have laid out. But that's going to take some time. We're still figuring out how to, you know, market, you know, appropriately so that we can get donations. Okay. So, if we could just write down in the minutes that, you know, Stephen has an action item really of just recording this, you know, accounting piece from Open Collective, even though it's not necessarily in our bank account per se, until it's actually leveraged. The next item on the agenda, I'm just trying to speed things along because we're already past time. Is there anybody on the call that has a public concern outside of OEMR around the project? Okay, so if that is settled, then The next board meeting is on February the 4th, and very much looking forward to that. And I think we are about done here. Does anybody else have anything critically important to mention before we adjourn? Okay, well, this is a really productive, a little bit over an hour. I apologize for that, but it was a very productive board meeting. And thank you very much, everybody.
This is Brady. I'm going to stop recording unless there's any more. Okay, I'll stop.